are you concerned about protecting that brand new pretty sled that you just got? Here's the solution. Use SledSyn24 for a 15% off discount code on some Backwoods bumpers, the industry leader in performance protection.
SledSyn listeners, welcome back for another episode. We are still back here at Heyday, so please do not mind some of the background noise. There's a lot of people, a lot of noise going on, side by sides rolling by.
Yes, sir.
So yeah, and as always, be sure to check out some of the links in the description. We've got a ton of companies on board with us this year that are providing a bunch of discounts for you guys. So be sure to check that out. And without further ado, let's jump right into the show. We've got Kobe with us, returning co-host.
Yes, sir.
You've been on Pleasure all these episodes you guys. So far this season.
I got to get them now because I was thinking about it. I'm like, man, should I skip one? And I'm like, I have to skip a lot, so I better get something while I can.
Oh, yeah. And then our guest for today is Bobby, the owner of Fire and Ice Performance. So what's up, Bobby? Welcome on, dude.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me here.
Pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, I appreciate you reaching out and sending us a DM and scheduling a time to jump on here. Glad I got you on.
It's exciting what you guys are doing.
Oh, I appreciate that.
It's filling a void, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We appreciate that a ton. We appreciate that a ton. Yeah. So, Bobby, where do you live? Where are you located?
Idaho Falls, Idaho.
Ooh, nice.
Not too far from us.
No, no.
Not too far.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. How far is that?
Don't ask me. I ain't the geography guy.
Well, you're making it sound like you knew.
Well, I just know we ain't that far, but don't put me on the spot like that. God, I hate it when he does it.
So,
we couldn't go ride in the same spot together. Nah. It's farther than that. But.
Nah. So, Bobby, talk a little bit about your exposure into the sledding industry, like as far as like riding and stuff. How were you exposed to it from the beginning?
Oh, man, there's a VHS video out there somewhere. My dad surprising us with kitty cats for Christmas. Santa Claus, you know. And oh man, those were on our back porch, and I'm just losing it.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh,
so that was the big deal. You know, my family's from Western Pennsylvania, so you know, not really a snowmobiling mecca.
Yeah.
And you know, when we moved out here years ago, my dad wanted to be like a Westerner as much as possible. You know, to buy a truck and a camper, four wheelers. You know.
In.
All that stuff, you know.
Start
fly fishing, you know. You don't catch anything, but as long as you're doing it,
hey,
you know,
it's all for the Facebook, right?
This is before we didn't even have
MySpace.
We didn't even have an internet connection at that point. Like I remember getting that a couple years after
the scrapbook.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know. Snowmobiling just stuck with us.
Okay.
You know, my brother and I. That's just something we did as a family,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, we still do it to this day. Good times.
Nice. Nice. So what are you, what has it evolved to? What are you riding now?
I've got a 9R
okay.
Matrix.
Nice.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think of it?
Now it's great.
Okay.
What do you mean now?
Go in on that.
Out of the box, I think the clutch and calibration was like garbage.
Gotcha.
So, and I think that's,
what'd you change?
I think that's what the recall coming out.
What'd you change?
We'll see if my prediction is correct.
Yeah.
Is going to be.
Okay.
Is the spider.
Okay.
But we'll see how that works out.
Fair enough.
But
fair enough.
You got it fixed now, though, so.
Yeah, the stock primary spring is just too long. Coil binds, rattles all around, hits the spider. If you go look at your spiders, you can see where it's hitting.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's inefficiency.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I'm sure.
But I think Speedworks, Spikeman, they have some shorter springs with the same rates.
Mm-hmm.
And, makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Everyone should look into that. It's like $25.
Look into it, he says.
And 10 minutes of your time to switch that spring out. Like, I think everyone would be really happy with that. Like, you don't have to go buy the whole clutch kit or nothing like that, you know. Just get the spring.
Spring. Okay. Got it. Yeah, that's good to know.
Know. I was going to say, I haven't heard about that yet. I got a buddy that's got one. I don't know. He's an animal on a sled, so he just terrorizes it anyways.
Yeah, and I think that P22 clutch has more tolerance in it than, like, the P85 clutch. So I think from sled to sled to sled, it performed more differently than in the past.
Sure.
So mine was probably at one end.
Yep.
And probably a lot more people are more in the middle, and maybe, it didn't really affect it so much.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure. What were you on before the 9R?
Oh, I had an 18 axis that I kind of, like, I just kept changing. this was a different time because mm-hmm. I bought a holdover sled, you know.
Okay.
I call up Carl Cycle. I'm like, what's the cheapest 155 you can get me?
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. Like, because I'm going to turn it into a Chaos.
Yeah, that's an easy way in.
You know, changed out the A-arms, everything, because this was 39-inch A-arms. But, you know, now you got to snow check everything.
Oh, yeah. So.
No joke.
So, let's talk a little bit about Fire and Ice. So how kind of did that, how did your involvement with that get started? Like, talk about the origins of.
That's been a long process.
Sure.
In 2005, when I was in high school, they started the company.
Okay.
And they have this fundraiser every year in Idaho Falls to support the Greenbelt.
Okay.
And they used to have guys ride around the island on the river on snowmobiles.
Mm-hmm.
And Fire and Ice had like a demo sled there. And I just started talking to them, find out about them. And this was in the 900 Polaris days, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. The peak of Polaris is what you're saying?
Yeah. That's where it peaked, for sure. So we had two of those pieces of crap. And so, you know, they were making all sorts of products for that. And
yeah.
I was in high school and just excited about the sport of snowmobiling. And I just kept bugging the owner at the time, Paul Hurley, until he, you know, let me come work for him a little bit. I worked for him on the side for years and years, and just stayed in touch with him. He was a good friend. And then, two years ago, he passed away.
Okay.
And his family approached me about taking over the business, keeping it going, which was really exciting to me.
Sure.
It was something I had a connection to personally.
Yeah.
And then at that point, I wasn't in the snowmobile industry at all anymore.
Okay.
Because I'd been working for Zollinger Racing Products.
Okay.
And so I hadn't been working them for a couple years. You know, was not involved with snowmobiles.
Sure.
From a career perspective, I was still riding all the time, mm-hmm. you know. So it was a nice way to get back in. And, you know, it's just something at this point. Paul's goal every year was just to pay for his snowmobile, you know, not go into debt, snowmobiling.
That's
and
a good plan.
Yeah. I've carried over that very simple goal because snowmobiling is expensive and I don't want it to impact my family at all. You know, we've got a 9-year-old daughter now, you know, it's like, should I buy a sled or put money in her college fund, you know, and like, you know, it's obviously going in her college fund now. So Fire and Ice just lets me be involved. And, you know, that's the best part about it because I don't have to feed my family through it.
Sure, sure.
And that's very important.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a fickle industry. You know, some years it's great, some years it's bad. But, yeah, I've got some other experiences we could talk about, too.
Yeah, go ahead. Hey, what's up, guys? I want to take a quick second to introduce another one of this year's sponsors. We have RSI. So the handlebar setup on your sled is arguably probably one of the most important components on your whole setup. So definitely check out their site. They've got a ton of different products. And use SledZen24 at checkout for a discount.
Okay.
Keep rolling. Keep rolling. I'm loving it.
Let us know.
I'm loving it.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things, I don't know. I never heard anybody talking about it when I was going through school. It was like, how the heck do you get a job in the snowmobile industry?
Yeah.
You know? You can make one, try and make a company or something. I think that's an uphill battle. But there's some guys doing it right now.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was on here, Frank, Carbon Pursuit.
Yep.
Man, that guy's awesome.
Yep. He said the same thing about you.
Oh, that's great to hear. I just met him today. We've been chatting for like, I don't know, like at least a year or something, know, online.
Yep.
He's really smart. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Seen your guys' little podium over there at his booth.
Yeah, some of your products over there.
Yeah, he was super nice to me and displayed some of my stuff, so I didn't have to have a booth out here. Because this is a long way from Idaho.
Oh, yes, it is.
You know, even flying out here, it takes a minute.
Yeah, we came from Oregon, so we know.
Yeah.
Dude, that fly.
Yeah, he's liking you.
He's getting me.
Yeah.
I mean, so back at this point, the Snow West forums was like the big, that was where I learned so much stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
I don't really know where it's at anymore. I just go on Instagram.
Snow West has still got a lot.
Yeah, I think it's still going, but that was the place, and I learned so much just reading on there. But now, you know, everybody's got YouTube videos and stuff, and there's so much opportunity to learn. But going through college, I was getting an engineering degree. I had no idea what I was going to do with it.
Yeah.
And then I happened to land a job with Polaris out of school.
Oh, nice.
6 hours north of here in Roseau.
Okay, yep.
You know, there's 3,000 people in the town. Polaris employs about 3,000 people at their facility there. Yeah. There's more people who are in the surrounding area, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was my first real, like, whoa, what's going on? And, you know, when I show up, this was going from the Pro to the Axis. So the Axis hadn't come out yet. So that was exciting to see.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Before everybody else.
Yep.
I don't really have any claims to fame from my couple of years up there other than I designed the mountain bar.
Okay.
That was the only mountain thing I got to do.
Yeah.
I designed almost everything on like a wide track snowmobile that was supposed to be a big seller in Russia.
Oh yeah.
I don't think it ever worked out.
Oh.
But
that's interesting.
Yeah. I know they put it out, but it was a 550 fan
motor. Yeah.
But that was great because I got to work on everything.
Yeah.
You know, because on the RMK there's so much. It's so serious, you know.
Yeah.
They can't throw a junior engineer on anything with that sled because if you mess up, boy, there's so much quantity. But on a utility sled for Russia, they're just like, have at it, you know.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then I got involved with like their skunk works department, you know, trying to develop technology and chassis outside of the original stuff. Like that's where like the one-seater Razor came from, like the Ace.
Yep, yep.
And then, like, the Slingshot motorcycle that they have.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that came out of that program. And,
sure.
You know, the sled I worked on for that has never come out. So.
Hmm. Copy that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that'd be my question for you guys is, where do you think snowmobiles are going to go? What could be improved on them?
that's like, the one of the best but worst questions ever because.
I know.
I have no clue. I don't know.
Well, it's such a tough one.
And you know what?
Like, because the toughest question is, it's like, how far out are you asking, I guess? Because, I mean, if we're talking like 40 or 50 years from now, I don't think that, I don't know. Like, that's going to be too unbelievable. If you ask 10 years from now, I would say, it's just going to go to everything's going to be really expensive. Everything, basically, if you look at it, everything that the dealerships what they're doing today is what riders do to their sleds like the year or two before.
Yep.
Look at all the tunnel cuts. Look at all the turbos. Look at all the the track components. This, that, the aftermarket. That. I think after a while, they're just going to either partner up with every. All the sled companies are going to partner up with the smaller guys and either offer those options or already put them on the sleds and sell it from the market. They're going to be titanium carbon fiber sleds, light as a feather, and they're going to probably find some new Kraken way with an engine method that works, and it can be super lightweight. And I don't know, for that aspect I'd say that, but I don't know how else you're going to change it. What do you think? You're the engineer.
Well, I think the whole thing is too big. The whole sled's too big. I think that's what snow bikes were trying to tell all the manufacturers. This is what I said when I was there too.
Yeah.
It's like I think snow bikes, sure, there's people that only ride motorcycles that want that feeling on the snow, but that's what they're telling you is the snowmobile is too big.
Yeah.
You know? And you've heard Brandt talk about that in older interviews too, that he wants like a 3/4 sled, And they've never given it to him.
Hmm.
Well, actually Articat did in 2003.
Yeah.
But that was before it was like stand up. It was still like trailing arm and stuff. They had a 13.5-inch sled instead of a 15-inch wide.
Yeah.
And they were really on to something.
What do you think about, where do you think they're going?
I'm avoiding that question. That's too much of a beast to try to
tackle.
Well, you
can just do like the 10-year one then. Yeah. Don't do the old time.
Well, I mean, the other obvious thing is that in 10 years, everything's going to be electric.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm excited for an electric snowmobile.
Are you?
I'm super stoked on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love electric motors.
I think it'd rip, but man, I don't know.
Well, I mean, for mountain guys, I mean, our best days is if we can keep the ride under 30 miles and, like, we can't hang on anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
You don't get very far from the truck. The snow's deep. Like, that's an ideal situation. And it's like, for me, that's like, electric would be, like, a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Like, you can give me a 100-mile range on an electric vehicle. electric snowmobile, that'd be plenty.
Yeah, but then like, is there no like turbo boost and stuff and no woo-choo-choo-choo?
I mean,
I'm about to get a turbo playing just in my earphones just to hear it when I have the electric sleds. It'll just whop.
They could do it in like they do on cars and just put it, make the exhaust noise through the speakers.
You know? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just have it in my ears. I think it would be a very, very powerful sled.
It could
because
be.
Because that electric power it is could like. Be.
Exactly.
Or at least the cars are. I don't know. How that's, about the I've smaller? Never,
it would
I don't
be.
Know about the smaller engines. I've seen dirt bikes and stuff that are electric, and they do pretty good, but they can't keep them going for long enough
because
the battery is so small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe really, it'll be more than 10 years. We'll see. But
never really talked about. That's a really good question.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I always like to get people's perspective on that.
Yeah, yeah.
All the most people don't really think about it. They just see what Chris Brandt's doing and say it's that, you know.
I don't know if electric's going to make its way into it. And one of the reasons why too is also is I'm sure if you cut all gas motors off, then yes, people would go to that. But like you look at a majority of, and I'm not like calling nobody or anybody out, but you look at the majority of snowmobilers, and I feel like they're like sled heads, they're motor heads. They like the pistons. Yeah. They like the bang bang. They like the fumes. They like the oil. They like the mechanicking.
Yeah, that's hard to walk away.
That's
from.
Part of the snowmobiling sure, is being able to too. Work on your own sled, you know, because they're relatively easy to work on, truthfully.
Well, not I mean, a skidoo, but.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can make your argument on that. But, I, you know what I mean? I just don't know how the industry would react if somebody was to, you know. I think you're going to get a lot of the,
man.
I mean, you're going to get a lot of the open guys. You're going to get a lot of the, then you're going to get a, I know you'd get a lot of people that would jump ship. So many guys would jump on board with that, but.
I mean.
I just think you're going to get a lot of these guys that have been doing it for years and years and years that love the old, you know, engines and the crankshafts and the pistons and shit. Yeah. And they're, yeah. I don't know what they'd say.
Maybe it's more than 10 years, you're right, but. Maybe. Who knows?
I think
nobody uses a carburetor anymore.
I think it's gonna change.
Yeah, I mean look at all the evolutions that have happened in the last, you know, couple decades.
Well yeah, look at how quickly we've gone from just a vertical escape to a chaos axis boost.
Yeah.
I mean
isn't that crazy?
That's quick evolution.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Tyler with Sled Send. Wanted to take a second of your guys' time and ask for your guys' support for what we're doing with the brand of Sled Send. So if you guys are enjoying, you know, the podcast episodes with all the different guests, the tour videos and such, check out sledsend.com. We have a variety of different merch. Every order comes with air fresheners and stickers. And like I said, we appreciate your guys' support. We need it to continue to do this. And without further ado, let's get into the video.
Yeah.
Even from a 900 to what the sleds are now.
Yeah, it's been fast.
The 900 then versus the 9R now. Look at the two 900 sled evolutions. It's
yeah.
kind of cool.
And it's crazy, too, is that snowmobiles have only gotten heavier over the last 7-8 years. They haven't gotten lighter. They totally nixed that trend.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even talking about it anymore.
Yeah.
Because that Matrix is probably...
It did get heavier.
It's probably 30, 40 pounds heavier than an Axis was when it first came out with the 800 motor. Not the 850, but the 800. Yeah.
Yeah, with the, I think that turbo on there, it's really doing some shame to it.
Yeah, the turbo doesn't care how heavy it is.
Yeah. have you rode one, a boost?
Not, you know, I actually have not ridden a factory turbo.
No, they're heavy. They are heavy.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm sure they're a blast, but it just like it doesn't fit our terrain or my riding style. So,
sure.
I don't even max out. I mean, let's be real. I don't max out the 900. I just got it because it was cool.
It fits,
you know.
It fits my terrain when I'm in like that moment and like all you need is a bunch of power and it gives it to you.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Fire and Ice and the business and some of the products. Like, what all do you guys offer?
Yeah, we just try to make parts that actually bring value to the customer, like actually do something. So we're either trying to cool things down, get more air in, get more air out, you know, one of those three things there. So we've been real successful, mostly for Polaris stuff. Skidoo is a hard market to crack.
Okay.
I'm not touching Cat until they show me a reason to, right?
They just came out with their new engine over there.
Yeah, yeah, if enough people buy it, we'll see.
858.
Yeah, that's exciting. But
if you're a cat guy, I guess.
Yeah, it's like 10 years too late for them.
I know, they're a little late to the program.
Yeah.
Well, they were the first company to file the patents on a production turbo by like 3 years. And they still haven't put out a turbo.
Yeah.
I don't know. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Well, I mean, there's funny stuff like that too, because one of my roommates when I worked for Polaris, he made a. It was really crude. It wasn't as refined, but he made basically a shot.
Okay.
For Polaris, yeah. And the IP department didn't think it was worth pursuing.
Really?
Yeah. And then Skidoo has it, and like that would be a total reason to buy a Skidoo.
Oh man.
Is the shot.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I mean, I got electric start on my sled this year, but that system was designed like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing changed about it.
Yeah.
It works just gears grinding.
It works good.
Yeah. But yeah, Fire and Ice is fun. You know, I design everything myself. We get it all manufactured in Idaho Falls for the most part.
Okay, nice.
Put it all together ourselves, ship it. Yeah.
Nice. So what's kind of like on the horizon for you guys? Some new and up and coming things, or where's it going to go next couple years that you can disclose?
Well, see, I mean, that's the discussion I was having with you guys is like, where are the sleds going to go? Cause that's such a big factor. Cause one, you know, as soon as problems identified, if they react quickly and fix it, then your product is done
from
an aftermarket perspective.
Yeah.
So I don't even know where it's going to go. I don't really plan that far ahead because I'm small, so I can react fast.
Sure.
You know?
Yep.
Something that I might get done in a month would take starting line a year or two or something.
Yeah.
Just because it's a different structure of a business.
Is there a certain type of products that you're, like, shooting for on a sled, I guess, or?
Well, yeah, like I was saying, it's, like, good value. So, like the Polaris air intake on the Matrix is like subpar for sure. Those sleds definitely have bogging issues, which is not entirely tied to the intakes. It could be all sorts of factors. It could be exhaust. It could be electronics. Could be air intake. I think all three of those are kind of hurting you on the Matrix, and they didn't really give us any avenue to like improve any of those very easily.
Sure.
But getting air in is one of those factors, and we can work on that.
Yep.
And that's been my focus last winter going into this year.
I think I seen the little air intake thing there at
Frank's got some on his.
He does. They're on Brandt's sled over in the Fox booth.
Look pretty good.
So I sent him some of those last winter and he was happy with them, so he's gonna move forward with rather than selling those.
Because
that's where Brandt does it better than everybody else, is like he just doesn't want stuff for free.
Yeah.
He wants to make money on the back end by selling it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he's like, I need to be able to endorse this product to sell it.
Yep.
But then he's gonna go sell it, you know. So that's like he gets it for sure.
Yeah.
Like he's a businessman that rides snowmobiles.
Yep. And that's what you need. Type of guys you want to work with anyways.
Mm-hmm. Everybody else just like asks for free stuff. Like I don't know if you guys have covered that on your show ever.
No,
it was like dealing with oh my gosh. Like and I'm not making fun of them, but I got, you know, an email this morning, you know, and it's just like, hey, I really like snowmobiles and want to be a part of the team, you know? And it's like, well, yeah, but what are you going to do for me?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's.
What's your ROI going to be? There's a lot of people
that don't understand that asking for a discount or obviously free stuff, but even asking for a discount, you're literally cutting into the profit of the company that's owned by another person that has a family, has kids, has whatever, right? And so, like, you know, I've brought this up several times on the podcast of, like, how we go about that stuff is some kind of mutual value exchange.
Absolutely.
Like what can we do that is equivalent of, you know, what you're giving us? But then we also like to take it a step further and kind of under promise, over deliver.
Absolutely.
And so like, regardless of what our contractual terms are, like, okay, yeah, we're set on this. All right. But like, what can we do outside of that to go above and beyond? And that's a couple things, right? Do more than any of the other ambassadors or sponsors are to set ourselves apart from them. But then also just over deliver more, playing the long term relationship with the companies that we actually truly really believe in and want to grow with.
Yeah. I mean, like, say that same person emailed me and was like, hey, I've only have 300 followers. Doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give me half off a clutch cover, I'll make a video detailing how to install it, all the benefits of it. I'll post it to YouTube. I'll send it to you for you to use, because then you don't have to make a video.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
You guys can't do that one now. I just gave it away. You gotta think of something else.
Yeah. You're like, oh,
but,
yeah.
But take the concept of that, you know, like, I'm gonna do something for you you don't wanna do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And that's huge.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, the worst thing you could do is, like, give something for free to Keith Curtis.
Yeah.
For example, because you'll never hear, like, he has too much noise.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. Even if it helps him out, like, it's not going to help him out as much as Polaris helps him out.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
You know?
Sure, 100%.
So I actually try to just work with smaller guys that aren't really, they're not getting stuff for free.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it works way better ROI for me. Because if I give somebody something for free, like, they have to sell at least two of those before I even break even. And like, that was so much effort on my part.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you didn't
to break even.
You didn't have to go out of your way, and you did.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah.
No, so, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, cool. I do want to say, though, time goes by fast.
It does, yeah.
Ripping in these, so I want to respect everybody's schedules and stuff. Sure. So for everybody listening, we'll put links to all your stuff in the description, but give us a shout-out of where everybody can find you.
Yeah, the main spot's on Instagram.
Okay.
If you're on Facebook or TikTok, it's just getting reposted. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not that fancy with it.
Okay.
You know?
Perfect.
Just Instagram, Fire and Ice Performance, fireandice.us. Not the best web URL, but they picked it almost 20 years ago, so I'm sticking with it. It shows up good on search.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's cool. All right.
Yeah. So, well, we got two last things
for
you. The first thing is going to be if you would do the honor of, you probably see it here, signing our banner for us
with
your name, and then just, you know, write Fire and Ice below it or whatever you want to do, wherever you want. We can move it to wherever you want. And then the last thing is, have you listened to any of the podcasts?
Yeah, I listened to a few.
Okay,
yeah.
So you might know what's coming then. So at the end of every episode, we have a question, right? So that you want to ask the listeners and viewers. It can be something about air ventilation. It can be something more broad. It can be whatever you want. And then we clip it and put it on social for
media. And this is for them to answer, correct?
Yeah, because then they'll comment on TikTok, Instagram.
Thumb Warriors.
Their answers of what they think.
Oh, man, I'm just going to go with the one. I'm going to regurgitate the one that stumped you guys of, like.
Good one.
There you go.
Hey, where do you see snowmobiles going? What could be better about them? Let's stick it in the next 5 to 10 years. You know, what's going to change about them? What's the problem right now? Be imaginative, you know? Yep. Everything could change.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really, really good question. Regardless of what platform you guys are on, please comment and let us know. Give us some feedback. That'd be really interesting because that's tough for me to speak to. But, we want to know what your guys' thoughts are on that. So, awesome. We'll go ahead and wrap this episode up. Bobby, thank you so much for reaching out and jumping on. Appreciate you sharing a little bit about your story and what you do. And, it's good to meet you in person.
Yeah, this was really great, guys. I appreciate it so much.
Pleasure to meet you.
Absolutely. Cool.
Let's awesome. Get a signature from you.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, Sledson listeners, thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next one.